Okay, we are at the Department of Resources, and one more meeting in one more town. It's good, very good. We'll see what comes about. Yes? Okay.
We are going to get started it out, but if you want to continue conversations, please take them out into the hall. Thank you. I'm Meredith Mendelson. I'm the Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Marine Resources. We are holding a public hearing this evening to take public comment. The Department of Marine Resources intends to provide the Department of Environmental Protection, DEP, with an assessment of the potential impacts of a project proposed in connection to a pending Natural Resource Protection Act permit filed by Nordic Aquafarms of Belfast. DMR decided to hold this hearing to take public comment in order to address a procedural error that was alleged in the DEP proceeding regarding DMR's assessment. Since that time, our understanding of the project has changed since the time we noticed the hearing. We did not understand that there was to be a haul route originally when we noticed this hearing. We had understood that all material that might come out from the siting of the pipelines would be taken upland directly from the point of the siting overland. Since that time, we've been made aware there is a haul route, and so that does bring it more into the scope of what we typically do for a dredge hearing. So regardless, we are here this evening to take public comment on the impact of fishing activity in the area to be impacted by the siting of pipelines as proposed and along the haul route to the point of disposal, which will be upland from that point. So that will be summarized shortly. DMR based its decision to hold this hearing in part on the size and scope of the overall project, and we'll provide an assessment on those potential impacts in order to assist DEP to have an adequate record for the consideration of Nordic's application. With regard to the scope of this hearing, DMR will take public comment tonight only on the impacts to fishing activity, where the pipes will be installed, and impacts caused by vessel traffic on the haul route to the disposal site or offload point for the upland disposal. DMR has already provided comments to DEP on the impacts to habitat and fisheries, and therefore will not be taking comment related to those impacts at this hearing. The record will be closed at the close of the hearing, and DMR will provide summary comment to DEP based on input received in writing prior to, or verbally or in writing during this hearing. At this point, the public hearing will proceed in two parts. The first part begins with a brief Q&A session, and I think Elizabeth Ransom, I believe, is going. I'm sorry.
Lauren from Chiru,
I'm sorry, I should clarify that from the year before. Will explain the proposed activities, and then members of the public will have an opportunity to ask clarifying questions only about the proposed activity as described. The purpose of the Q&A is to help you understand what the applicant is proposing. It is not the time to offer feedback on the proposed activities. You'll have the opportunity to do that during the second part of the hearing. And then when the Q&A session ends, we'll open the record. You'll have an opportunity to put your comment on the record. I will take comments in random order as people raise their hands and come up. There were two people who signed in initially, and we'll start with them just out of courtesy. For the clarity of the record, please note that the comment period is not time for an exchange with the department. We are simply listening to your feedback, and then we'll take the next comment. Please be sure to ask any questions during the Q&A. We're also going to limit public comments to 3 minutes per person in order to ensure that everybody has an opportunity who would like one to speak tonight. So now I guess I will turn to Lauren, if I could.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Lauren Walsh. I'm with Chimbrow Corporation. I'm Chimbrow's environmental manager. Chimbrow has been working with the Department of Marine Resources. Can everybody hear me? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm working with Nordic Aquafarms. to establish construction means and methods for the installation of the pipeline route and the pipeline itself. So I'm going to speak a little bit about those construction means and methods to install that pipeline within the intertidal zone, as well as the subtidal and then the deeper water zone, and speak a little bit about the haul routes for the excess excavated sediments for that project. So the installation of the pipeline itself will take place in its basically three phases. You have the intertidal zone, which will be done off of a timber mat access road placed out into the mudflats into the intertidal zone. That timber mat access road will be placed in one route initially. That'll be the first stage of the construction. The excavators to install that section of the pipeline will then work out from the basically the mean low water line back up to the shoreline with the installation of that access of the pipeline. So they're working backwards, so remove that access road as they go. The next phase of that would be the subtidal and the in-water work. The mudflat work, the intertidal zone, would be done during low tide, so there would be limited impacts from washing of sediments into the area outside of the 100-foot access route for the pipeline. The tributary curtains would be used in all instances during water, high water activity. Timber mats would be placed, and they'd stay in place, they'd be anchored in place through the tide cycles.
Sorry, could you put that speaker closer because I'm just
sure.
Muscle like a little closer.
So the timber mats would stay in place during, I can hear myself now, thank you. The timber mats would stay in place through those tide cycles. They'd be anchored in place, allowing for less movement of those sediments during activity or during the tide cycles. The deeper water work would be done off of barges. So we have two different types of barges. We have jack-up barges as well as standard spud barges. The jack-up barges stay in place. They don't ground out onto the mudflats or onto the any other. So the jack-up barges do not ground out onto the mudflats, but the spud barges could possibly do that. We've accounted for that within our work plan and within our temporary impact to the intertidal zone. Dredge curtains would be used, so sediments do not, turbidity generated from the excavation activities would not migrate beyond our work area. We use a long reach excavator with a closed dredge bucket or an environmental bucket, depending on what the sediment types are like, again, to reduce any turbidity generation possibility. If those turbidity curtains are not shown to be effective, we would also do some additional monitoring with a meter to assess what amount of turbidity is being generated beyond those turbidity curtains if that were to be an issue. And then institute additional mitigation measures at that point. So those additional measures could be additional turbidity curtains, it could be a different type of a sediment barrier, there's various options out there. The excavated material would be brought up from the bottom using the closed dredge bucket and placed onto a scow barge. The scow barge is shown over here. So this is just an estimated drawing right now. So the final design drawings for the scow barge and the containment system have not been completed. This is just an example of what we are planning. It's also an example of what has been used in other projects in the past. So the scow barge has a concrete jersey barrier containment system with filter fabric lined. The filter fabric will filter out any sediments that could wash off of the excavated dredge material. So the excavator will bring the material up from the bottom, place it onto the scow barge. We have basically three layers of turbidity barriers. We have the filter fabric. We have a filter sock barrier that would go around the base of the timber mats and the concrete barrier, so that any material that would come out from underneath those jersey barriers would be filtered. And then in addition to that, there's also a turbidity, a dredge curtain, that's what they call it, around the barge itself, so that any material that would come down would be filtered as well. It's our feeling at this point in time, looking at the sediment analysis, that tertiary filtration measure would keep turbidity to a minimum. And that would be in place at all times. In addition, there would also be a turbidity barrier, you know, standard turbidity curtain anchored around the work area at the time. So this system would be used for the entire length of the pipeline. So from the intertidal zone, where you're working in primarily in the low tide time period, all the way out through the subtidal and the deep water zones. Once the material is placed onto the barges, it will then be transported roughly to the roof here, and I think some of these were handed out, I believe. So this is the sediment transport route. It's about 6.5 miles. It will take roughly 1 hour for our barge, as we're estimating, 1 hour for a push boat to move that barge from the work zone out to Mat Point, where we would then transfer the material from the barges onto a truck, and it would be hauled to a landside license disposal facility. The material will likely need to be amended to remove some of the excess water. Usually this is done with a cement product. So that would be done most likely near Mat Point. So at that location, we again secure the barge. The cement product would be mixed with the sediments would be mixed with the cement, and they'll pass this what's called a paint filter test. And that's essentially to make sure that material does not drip out onto the roadways as it's hauled overland to the disposal site. So it will bind up any excess moisture in that material before it's transported overland. There's roughly 20,000 cubic yards of material that will be removed and transported through this haul route. So the actual excavation activity is roughly 35, but a lot of that material is going to go back into the trench itself, along with stone and the pipe itself. There's some compaction that needs to be done in the intertidal zone as well. So roughly 20,000 cubic yards of material will need to be disposed of. Again, these are estimates at this point in time, pending the final sign of that pipeline. So we're looking at an hour trip each way, roughly 110 to 130 trips will be made, round trips, to move that amount of material. So our calculations roughly, this type of a scow barge containment system will hold about 130 cubic yards each pass. And that estimate depends on exactly what is removed from the trench area itself.
I have a question. Lauren, could you tell us, do you know if the transport will happen around the clock, or will it be in daylight hours only?
At this point in time, we're planning daylight hours.
Any other clarifying questions?
A couple.
If I could ask you, I'm sorry to do this, we only have one microphone, can we hand it back and forth? Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll stand up.
Has there been any subsequent tests of the actual sediments on the intertidal zone since the ones presented by at the BEP hearing?
I'm sorry, that's not relevant to the subject matter of the hearing. I'm not going to entertain questions on everything related to this permit.
Well, this is the dewatering is not part of this, and the barge trips aren't part of it. So, in order to know how many barge trips, we need to know what the sediment is like and what's going back into the hole. So, the estimates that I heard were 5,000 to 10,000 cubic yards going to back, going somewhere. And now I find out that it's 20,000 cubic yards, and that depends on what the sediments actually are. So, I'm a little confused. Aren't we talking about how many barge trips? What the conditions are that create that?
I suppose we could talk about the volume of the barge trips, if that's what you're asking.
I'm asking about the volume of the barge trips and what actual testing has been done subsequent to the testing that has been presented to the DEP.
I'm not going to entertain a question about the testing of the sediment, because I don't believe that that is relevant to the question about the impact of the hull.
Elizabeth Branson, I can answer Paul. There have been no additional tests since the DEP hearing, so that's your question. But there, as you are aware, there were tests during the application process that Timbrough is using to make their estimates of how many trips and what the rough volumes might be. I think Lauren was very clear that what she presented tonight are estimates.
Thanks. Yes, my question is, you talked about it being sent to a facility somewhere. Is that on the bay? That is this, for example, over on Kidder Point, a local place, or on Sears Island? Where is it going?
The material would likely go to a licensed landfill.
Right.
So it would be, for instance, Crossroads, Norwich Walk landfill. The furthest away would be New Hampshire.
Not Juniper Ridge. Or
possibly Juniper Ridge.
So there's no you don't have anywhere set yet.
No, that would be determined at the time of disposal. So when we remove that material, you have to analyze and have it approved.
And that's a DEP solid waste disposal permit. That has
right.
nothing to do with this.
Well, I wanted to make sure it wasn't on Stockton Harbor that are roads right into the bay. So.
The next question.
Two clarifying questions. One is, what season of the year will you do this, and how long will you think it would take?
So the season would depend on a lot of what we're discussing here. So there would be some time of year restrictions that would be in place. So probably winter. Winter season, November through March, April. And I'm sorry, was your other question?
How long will the whole process of from start to finish doing the pipe and then being completely done?
Roughly four to 6 months for the whole thing.
Will you be able to tell? I'm very familiar with this mud flat area.
When I walk out there, if you lay this pipe, will I be able to tell? Will I see anything?
So when we do the excavation and we put the pipe in and put the additional material back in, we will be using a survey so that you won't see a hump in the land. It would be brought back to the original topography.
When was Nordic Aqua Farms or Chimbrough, when did you become aware that you were going to be taking 110 to 130 haul trips to Mack Point? I have a follow-up.
Are you asking when we determined the offloading location?
No.
When did you become aware that you were going to be following this haul route, since this is the first night any of us are hearing of it? I'm asking when you became aware that you were going to be taking 110 to 130 haul trips of this sediment to Mack Point.
I think we knew the amount of material that was going to be transported. The location was under discussion and under review. As of about 2 weeks ago, we settled on this particular location as it's the closest.
To clarify, then on February 14th, you knew this?
It
It is very relevant to this because we have not been given any opportunity for notice of this haul route to Lobsterman. You are closing this record at the end of this meeting. People are not being given a written comment opportunity, including Lobsterman, who will be affected by this haul route, none of which knew it. And when you filed the notice of this hearing on February 14th, this haul route was not included, but apparently the applicant knew about it, and I would like that dealt with.
I am not going to entertain that kind of attitude in this hearing. I'm going to be quite candid with you. We are not going to have that kind of a conversation. We are taking public comment this evening on any impact of fishing activity in this area, and that is inclusive of anything. Please sit down, Ms. Tucker.
I'm going to request that Lobstermen be given an opportunity to file written comments to this for the next 10 days.
I will consider that request at the end of the hearing. We are taking comment broadly on all fishing activity in the area. I hope that fishermen who are impacted in this area will have been able to come to this hearing, will have participated, will have been here. I do see a few fishermen in the area who I know fish actively here. I do see people who I know to be interested in this topic. So I'm hopeful that they'll be able to comment on their activity in this area.
Any other clarifying questions, Becky?
Yes. The turbidity curtain that you've described, sorry, I'm in the way. What happens with the material, the 15,000 cubic yards that is not going on the barges? Does that go inside the curtain, outside the curtain? The description that I've read is that it will be washed by waves and then put back on the. So I'm just curious.
Sure, so it's going to depend on the different work area. So if you're in the intertidal zone, that excavated material, everything from the trench location is going to be put onto timbermats or onto barges. Then it's going to be put back. Whatever needs to be put back will be put back. The excess material will be hauled away, as noted. If you're in the subtidal zone, so there is going to be some of that will be pushed to the side. Some will be excavated. It depends on the exact location of work.
I guess.
And then it'll be put back in, if I'm answering your question.
So, no, I mean, I just want to know, is it inside the curtain or outside the curtain?
Okay.
And what happens in the materials as you dewater it for the toxins that will go through to the water? How is that going to be filtered out?
So the turbidity will be filtered through the curtains, so we'll have that tertiary level. All work will be inside either the turbidity curtain around the work area itself, as well as the dredge curtain, which is a heavier duty curtain, which would be around the barge for the dewatering, I believe that you're referring to.
So I guess I'm wondering what the size of the screening is. I mean, is it what can get through that screening?
I don't have that information.
That would be very important, particularly because we know about the mercury that's there. So I don't know how you're going to filter that out through a filter, unless it's extremely small, and then I don't know how it's going to work with 130 cubic yards.
And Goddard with North Cockle Farms. We did talk to several people about this today because of that question that we figured would come up. The answer is that the turbidity system that's proposed is used very often, and its effectiveness is measured by the turbidity outside the work zone. So that's why we anticipate measuring the turbidity outside the work zone to make sure that the material is captured the way it's proposed. But it is a common system that's used in similar materials all over the bay, and we think that it's going to do a very good job of making sure that the material is contained, especially with the several layers that it's going to be going through.
I guess I'm just not satisfied that that's going to get the mercury out of it. So I don't. I mean, what?
Okay, this is a comment. I'm going to ask you to hold that, Becky, if you would, please. Okay. Other comments, clarifying questions about the impact of the. I'm sorry.
It was a question.
But then there was a comment that she was unsatisfied with I'm moving on. Becky, do you have another clarifying question?
Okay, the clarifying question is, how can you be satisfied that the mercury is going to be filtered out in that system? Turbidity is one thing, you know, toxins are another. So
I think we're just going to say that we're confident that the material will stay within the work zone.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter. I just want to clarify again, the Department of Marine Resources has already commented on the impact to marine resources. This is about the impact to fishing activity. And I understand that people would like to interpret that broadly. The department interprets that fairly narrowly. We're talking about the impact to fishing activity in the area where the pipelines are laid, not from just from the actual activity of laying the pipeline and then the haul route.
So what you're saying is like fish habitat?
Correct. That is not within the scope of this hearing.
It is not in the scope of this hearing?
That is not within the scope of this hearing. The Department of Marine Resources comments on that. That is part of the DEP's evaluation. The Department of Marine Resources has already provided comments to DEP on those issues.
All right, here's a clarifying question. Did those comments include this dredging proposal?
So the comments that were provided to DEP by us, Maine DMR, did include the excavation, several different plans that we had, but the latest plans of the excavation for the pipe itself to be laid within. So yes, we did provide comments on the impacts to marine resources and marine fisheries along the specific lay of the pipe itself, both subtidal and intertidal.
You remember roughly when that was? Was it, does it include the different configurations that the pipe seems to have squirmed through?
I've had numerous different configurations. We've had applications from the beginning of the summer till just recently. My comments that were provided were for the final plans that we have received.
Okay. Other clarifying questions? Ms. Tucker, I'm just going to see if anybody else has a question. Ms. McFadden, I believe, has been waiting for a while.
Thank you. This is just a quick one. Will they immediately be bringing those barges to Mack Point after being completely filled, or are they going to like sit and stand, so to speak? Is there like a time lag? Are you going to be hanging out with the barge? Are they going to sit overnight ever and possibly leak out? You know, that type of situation. I'm just wondering about the time period, because it does take a significant amount of time to be able to get that stuff up, and we got to be realistic about that.
So the intent of the work would be to transport a barge as soon as it's full, and that would be within one workday cycle.
So it could stay overnight then?
No, during the daylight hours. So it would be transported that day.
Sorry, this one.
Hi, my name is Ellie Daniels, and I'm an abutter to the property. And I've spent a good bit of time down on the intertidal zone there. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what you know about the qualities of the benthic layer there. I understand it's considerably higher in silt type soils, and I'm wondering what accommodation is being made for that.
So if you're referring to the mud, the intertidal zone, the information we have, I believe, is that it's fairly cobbly. There is some finer material. So that's part of the reason for use of the timber mat.
Gentleman in the back, will come right back to you.
Can you hold the mic up?
The first question I'd like to ask you on your haul route, you have marked on the statement here for your dredge. Well, let me mark, I am a fisherman in that area. In that area that I see drawn across, there's fish quite heavily. Now, well, let me mark this so that fishing gear will have to be moved and stay out of this like a roadway. Or, that's kind of, you can answer this if you'd like to answer that now. Will it be marked?
I was going to direct that back up to the folks at the table. I believe it would be Mark, so that, that you folks would be safe.
Next part of that question is a more little safe part of it. When you store in this, will these only pull these bridges, these barges at night? Correct. Will they haul 7 days a week?
It's
possible. It's possible. And in that month's a period of work. And I'm in 110 to 130 barge round trip, correct?
Correct.
And when there's a storm, these will lay like a regular ship lays off from Searsport in those designated areas, correct?
Correct.
Now, do they use the method of laying on a cable? Is that one of Chimbrough's practices with their cousin barge to drop the cable and use it as an anchor? Do you know or not know?
That piece I don't know, but I can
okay.
speak to.
Okay. Just curious questions. I've come across in years past with these. And I guess the other part is, do these barges, you said they had to be hoisted there, I assume they're like a scow that dry, and you said they mix them with the sediment with the concrete, pump it off. Do they have the option of an open bottom barge where they can drop, take it out to sea and dump it? Do they have movable bottoms, I guess is what I'm asking.
Not the trip, no.
And how many of these barges are there going to be? There'll be more than one making this trip, I assume. They'll be loading one while they're hauling one?
We have not finalized that right yet. The 110 to 130 is one barge. So that would be one barge going back.
So it's possible that Chimbrough owns several barges. You could put on 5 or 6 barges and just cycle them around like a choo-choo train.
It depends on what the plan is and how quickly we need to get it.
Okay. These are just questions that I need to know because I've been several other fellow fishermen here tonight and fish this area quite heavily.
Connect, just for a second, connect. For both the questions and the answer, could you both speak to the mic? Because this is being recorded for the department purposes, and we want to make sure that all the answers to questions are picked up for the record.
So I think for as far as the number of barges that we might have going right now, our plan is to have just one barge going back and forth, offloading material. That's what the 110, 130 trips is referring to. If there would be more barges, that would also speed up the process, but again, we are limited by tide and the actual installation of the pipe, so we can only excavate so much material at a time.
Correct.
So the likelihood of there being 5 or 6 barges going back and forth is, I think, pretty slim.
Well, I've seen them laying different areas.
Wait, sir, could I ask you to hold that until, if it's a comment, could I ask you to hold it till the comment period so we can make sure we get you on the record? Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Tucker?
Will the intake pipe be approximately 8 feet off the sea floor at its terminus?
I have to refer to my drawings, but I believe that's...
This isn't your drawing, so...
I can't know. You have the only microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes, the barge.
I know what you think. I want to know what she thinks.
Yes, it's 8 feet to the top of the cage.
And is, I'm sorry.
Is this the current route for the pipelines that you are proposing? Or is that the November 2018 one?
That's a graphical representation that was shown. And I would refer to the engineering drawings that everybody has. They were submitted.
But to clarify, yes, these are the drawings for the 2018 route, not the current route. Is that correct?
It's a very small-scale plan that I can't tell you which route that is. I'm telling you, you should refer to the engineering drawings that are much more exact and that were submitted with the DEP set.
I just want for the record to note that the DMR's document uses the 2018 route that was abandoned in November of 2018.
Are there any other clarifying questions?
My name is David Black. I'm a lobster fisherman in the bay here. And I want to know a little bit about the process. You did talk about the process. I'd like to know where this information that you're taking tonight is going from here, first of all. And is there a, I think somebody asked this already, but is there a public comment period? Because I had a lot of guys that I talked to that wanted to be here, but it was very short notice, and now we're learning that the purpose of this hearing is a little bit different than what was proposed, and I'd like to, I know people that would like to make comments, and I'd like to have them have that opportunity. So anyway, what is the process from tonight?
Good question. So I think the point that was raised is fair. I do anticipate that at the end of this hearing, we will be extending a comment period. I need to think about that for a few minutes, but we will make an announcement at the end of the hearing. And accept written comments further after this. We have also accepted written comments up to this hearing. Just note that, and people who've asked us about whether or not they could submit a written comment have been able to do so. Any comments that come in tonight will be used to inform our submission to DEP. Does that answer your question, David?
I'm just wondering, muscle harvesting happens all year long. I know we're planning on doing this in the winter, right? So are you as the DMR planning on shutting our aquaculture site down to muscle harvesting during this time or any other fisheries in the immediate area?
We see no need to shut any fisheries down during the construction or the operation of the facility.
Is that something that you can give to us, like in some kind of writing for our aquaculture site, because that would be a lot of losses and revenues and whatnot, and who would compensate for those losses if our site was shut down and if we're the only people that are out there doing something?
I think our comments could indicate our intent not to make any changes during the construction site as a result of this construction. I can't predict what other things might happen that would impact, a grower or a particular fishery. So I just want to be careful about the balance of what we'd be saying.
The plan is no.
Anybody else? Come back to you, ma'am. Sir.
John Kruger. This is a clarifying question. At the DEP hearing, there was a submittal by Dr. Russell from DMR regarding a virus upload. And upstream was told we were going to be able to respond to that. And this may not be the opportunity tonight, but I'm wondering, when is that opportunity? We've hired people from Newfoundland to provide data, and we've got written testimony. It was my understanding it would be tonight, but when will we be able to provide that response to Dr. Russell's testimony?
I'm sorry, I didn't introduce Mark Randlett, who's our Assistant Attorney General, and Dennis Nolte, who's our Environmental Permit Coordinator.
Hi, I'll introduce myself my first right off the bat. My name is Mark Randlett, I'm the Assistant Attorney General. I'm just here advising the department tonight for the purpose of this hearing. With respect to that question, it's my understanding that that is a DEP issue. The DEP record has been closed. So this is definitely not the forum in which to have that issue addressed. It would be up to the DEP whether or not they wanted to reopen or extend their comment period to accept that kind of information. But it's not something we control.
Okay. So, sorry, I got other things to do tonight. But it was our understanding that we were given an opportunity at the hearing, and we said we would not do it at the hearing because we just read Dr. Russell's report and really had much of an opportunity. So if it's closed, you guys can open that, since we are understanding that this is something we would work with you on.
Am I misunderstanding the purpose of this talking about? Is this related to? Okay. So let me just go back. So what the DMR is addressing tonight are impacts on the fishing community with regard to the actual dredging operations, the construction work that's being done at the site, and the haul disposal route. The issue that you're raising are matters relating to the DEP discharge permit or types of impacts that might result as from something different from what we're discussing tonight. So that would not, this would not be the appropriate place to have those issues raised. That would be a DEP issue, and it would be up to the DEP whether or not they allow that into the record at this point.
Hi, I'm Pam McRae. I think I understood you to say that the comments would inform a report that you will make to the DEP. My question is that a public report that you will be making to the DEP, and how would we access that report?
Yes, that will be public, and that will be submitted to the Department of Environmental Protection, and I assume would be added to their website where they have everything related to the Nordic permit process.
This is a non-fishing person question. Is the disturbance of sediment something that could affect their mussel farm? Is there, you know, is that something that causes a pollution to the health and viability of being able, any of the aqua and shellfish and so on during this process? Is that a threat, and has that been considered and addressed?
So yes, when we provided our comments to DEP on this project overall, we did look at all those specific related issues, and based on scientific studies, other similar related types of projects with other aquaculture facilities. I am a shellfish biologist by training. That is, those are things that we did look at. We are not generally concerned because of the distance away and occurrence within those areas with the turbidity currents in place.
Okay, I'm hoping this will be the last question. We can move into the public. Oh, maybe we'll
so
take
So I have a question. If there's a pipe that's, would you say, 8 feet up off the sea bottom, how far out is that? How far out does that go? So is where however long that is, will that area where that pipe is be forever closed to fishing? And will it have buoys on it so that sailors and fishermen and other boaters don't drop an anchor or bump into it?
The mere existence of a pipeline does not necessarily require a closure. As people may be aware, there are cables all over Penobscot Bay and throughout coastal waters that are not closed areas. It is possible that there would be marking requirements. I believe that would be through the Corps permit. Certainly, if there are concerns about activities related to fishing, for marking that for purposes of drag activity or setting traps in that area, those are the types of comments that we would like to hear tonight. And we would include those in our comments to DEP, but I think they'll also be considered through the Army Corps permit process.
At the end of the pipe, there is approximately 35 feet of low water, so you're still looking at 25 or more feet of water depth above the structure. So navigation, we do not feel is a concern, but we have made recommendations to the Corps that they do consider marking requirements so that we can fulfill those, but we do need their direction to do that.
Okay, I'm gonna take two questions, and then we're going to move on into the public comment because it's 6:45 and people don't want to be here all night.
So I've been following the math of the amount of dredging, and this relates directly to the number of trips and the day trips. So one trip a day, 7 days a week, no storms is 3 months. And I've done the numbers a couple times here, and it looks like one day's excavation is going to result in approximately somewhere around 20 feet of ditch being opened up, which means that the excavation is going to be open for the 1,000-foot lengths of pipeline that are going to be sunk in it for 30, 40, 50 days. Could you just talk about how these daily trips fit into the actual laying of the pipes and weather-related concerns? Because we often have some pretty bad weather in this neighborhood, big waves, storms.
Yeah, I think our construction plan, we would only be opening up sections each day, so we would only open up what we can manage, and that would be dependent upon weather as well. So if you're looking at trips per day, 2, maybe 3, depending on weather. So weather would be a definite factor in our plan.
But how about, so you open up 2 days worth is 40 feet or 3 days is 60 feet or 70 or 80 feet. Is that pipeline going to be laid then?
Yes. So that pipeline would be opened up and the sections depend on the tide cycle. So where we are in that pipeline group, which is roughly 6,000 feet all told. So it's going to vary depending on the water depth and the tide cycle. So it could be 10 feet. We have short tide window in the intertidal zone, or it might be 40 feet as we get deeper, and how much the barge can actually handle.
I think the point to clarify is that at the end of the tide cycle, it's covered back over, so the sections have to be short enough that each time you get to the end of that tide cycle, you recover the pipe. Does that make sense?
Yeah. One question. I'm going to move on.
Nope. Okay, just a quick question. With respect to the maintenance of the pipeline, right? Because there's going to be some areas that are still above on top of the ground, but anchored, so you're going to have to do some sort of dredging to support the anchors, right? And then also, over time, some of that stuff will have to be adjusted and redone. How does that fit into the effect on things down the road after this process, maintaining the pipeline, especially the exposed part?
The anchors are to be installed, either helical anchors or driven piles, without need for excavation in the area of the anchors. We've also looked at the material of the currents. We do not expect significant scour or accretion around the structure because the currents at that depth are not strong. If the pipe does have areas of accretion or scour, it would not affect the operation of the pipe. But we will be annually inspecting the pipeline, so if there is an area of concern, then we could then address that, but we do not expect that.
One last question on the pipeline.
So I'm just a little confused about what the current method is to cover the pipes, and none of that will. There's nothing that covers them anymore. There's no, just the anchors. There's nothing that you're going to have to go and maintain. But thanks.
Just as a clarification, there's the anchors and there's concrete collars,
yes,
every so often to basically keep the buoyancy from wanting the pipe to rise by both anchoring and concrete collars. You're basically holding that pipe to the bottom surface. So I just was clarifying that you were saying there's nothing on top, but actually there are, in fact, in places, concrete columns as well.
I thought there was a blanket on you.
No, that's not been in the design for quite some time.
It's just
collars and
anchors. I'm just confused because I've seen multiple versions and trying to figure out what's current.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're going to take a 5-minute break and we will reconvene for public comment at that point. Okay, we're going to get started again. I just want to address the question of extending the comment period.